Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith has been good enough to agree to join us. We're going to be talking with him about the passage of an assisted suicide bill in Washington State. I wonder if that comes as a surprise. And the passage of an embryonic stem cell research bill in Michigan. Both of these came in conjunction with the general election. Some might say a real setback for the defense of life from beginning to end. Wesley Smith is a regular guest. He's senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. He's author of several books, including The Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm very well. Did either of these decisions, either the Washington or the Michigan decision, surprise you?
I had a greater hope for the Michigan, that the Michigan decision would be different, and in fact, it ended up a closer election. But realize the amount of money that is being poured into these bills. The assisted suicide measure had millions of dollars from literally all over the world poured into the state of Washington because the international euthanasia movement wants what it wants, and it knows that to get that, it has to keep getting these victories going. The same thing is true in Washington, not to mention the in-the-tank biased media on both of these issues. So it becomes very, very difficult in a year in which conservative ideas were not exactly popular in the voting booth in any event, generally speaking, with a couple of exceptions. I wasn't surprised, but it is appalling that when we're told how awful the influence of money is in politics, that the media could care less about it when they agree with the outcomes.
Okay. What exactly did the voters in the state of Washington decide to approve for themselves?
They approved an Oregon-style assisted suicide bill, and they did so 58-42%, so it wasn't even a close call. And this will permit doctors to write lethal prescriptions for patients who they reasonably believe have 6 months or less to live. In an innovation over Oregon, though, if a person commits assisted suicide, the doctor will write on the birth certificate that they died of the underlying disease. So this is the first time I know that doctors are actually going to be forced to lie on official government records as to the cause of death. It is a total corruption of medicine.
So in other words, the doctor, it really doesn't make a difference what the doctor writes down on the death certificate. I mean, ultimately, he can say whatever he wants to say there.
Well, if you have a totally corrupt doctor, you could end up with somebody who wasn't terminally ill, and the doctor, but you have to get a second opinion. But let's say you've got a couple of doctors who are going to work together because they're ideologically predisposed to this. There would be no real way to find out because if Oregon is any example, there's no autopsies, there's no pre review by the state before an assisted suicide. So, if doctors are corrupt, you could end up with non-terminally ill people being assisted in suicide and then have a death cause put on a birth certificate. But lying is lying. If somebody is dying of Lou Gehrig's disease and they take an overdose of poison, they didn't die of Lou Gehrig's disease, they died of poisoning. If somebody has cancer and is believed to have 6 months to live, or let's say cardiac problems, sometimes people actually don't die from those situations even though they've been diagnosed as terminally ill. I, as a hospice volunteer, my first patient was a 90-year-old man with terrible congestive heart failure, and he was expected to die within 6 months. The first time I met him, he fell into my arms crying, literally crying, "I want to die, I want to die, I want to die," because he felt like a burden, he told me. I asked him why. "I feel like a burden, I'm a burden, I'm a burden." With 3 or 4 months later, I lost that patient, not to death. He got kicked out of hospice because he improved. He improved to the point that he was no longer terminally ill. But if he had, in that time when he said, "I wanted to die, I want to die, I want to die," if 2 weeks later he could have swallowed an overdose of pills, he would have been dead, because that's how he felt at the time. And to give him the pills would have been utter abandonment, except we never would have known it, because he'd be dead. And then the doctor in Washington State in that situation could say, "This patient died of cardiac arrest," when he didn't. You know, I mean, it's astonishing what we are willing to do today to push the culture of death.
See, you've pointed this out many times, and I think people, when they first hear it, think that this is, you know, going too far, saying too much. But you've said it begins by saying, okay, come on, we're really only talking about the terminally ill. But then in practice, it proves to be not terminally ill, but people who perhaps are ill or infirm, but want their only qualification really is that they want to die.
All people need to do is take a look at what's happening in Switzerland. Switzerland allows assisted suicide to be performed by lay facilitators, proving that it's not medicine. And the lay facilitators do not limit themselves to the terminally ill. And the Swiss Supreme Court just last year issued a ruling allowing the mentally ill a constitutional right to assisted suicide. If you take a look at Jack Kevorkian, which happened in this country in the 1990s. 70% of his assisted suicides were not terminally ill, yet jury after jury in non-terminally ill cases refused to convict him. Because once you accept the mindset that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, and once you decide that choice is the only thing that matters, that we own our own bodies and so forth, then there's no logical way to limit assisted suicide to people who are actually dying. And the idea of terminal illness and if nothing else can be done to alleviate suffering is merely a selling point. It isn't even how it works in actual practice, according to the death doctors, who admit that most of the people who ask for assisted suicide in Oregon do so because they're worried about being a burden, or they're worried about losing the ability to engage in enjoyable activities, or they're worried about not having dignity. These are terrible, real problems, existential suffering that needs to and can be addressed. But when you say, "Well, okay, we'll give you the pills," there's no way to do that. So that means assisted suicide becomes an utter abandonment, and eventually when it becomes popularized, there is no way to hold it to the terminally ill. In the Netherlands today, where they've had euthanasia since 1973, it's not limited to the terminally ill in any regards. It's actually now spread to the pediatric wards where eugenic infanticide takes place, and nothing is done about it. So this idea that it's just this little safety valve is baloney, and if that were true, you wouldn't see the millions of dollars being poured into this movement international in the state of Washington to push this agenda.
Okay, if you were a betting man, you wanted to say, where are the advocates for assisted suicide? Where are they going to go next in the United States to try and get laws passed or some other means of introducing these practices into the medical community? Where would you say it's going next?
California, huge. Hawaii, huge. Vermont, huge. Wisconsin and Arizona. These are places that have had previous attempts, and they've been able to be beat back, sometimes barely, particularly in Hawaii. We beat it back by one vote a few years ago. With the size of the election, 58 to 42, the advocates will now say the wind is at their back. This is clearly what the people want, and it will become easier. Once somebody else has said yes, it becomes easier for you to say yes. So there will be protracted battles in the state legislatures over the next 2 years. I would expect that there will be another initiative filed, perhaps in Michigan or perhaps in Wisconsin, Arizona, probably not California because of the cost, to legalize this also, probably at the 2010 election.
Okay, so this is Oregon plus one writ large.
Well, they've got their Oregon plus one, so now it's going to be Oregon plus two, plus three, plus four. And then it's also already being used in Canada and other places internationally, because the strategy here is to to kind of boost off each other's momentum into an international movement. Again, this is not about terminally ill for whom nothing else can be done to alleviate suffering, which is a false premise anyway. This is about an ideology. This is about an ideology that moves us toward near death on demand. And as an example, in the Netherlands, where some doctors will still say no to patients who do not technically qualify for euthanasia, the Dutch Medical Association has put a how to commit suicide website on the web, on the internet, and they will actually refer their patients to this how to commit suicide website. They call it auto euthanasia. Can you believe it?
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute and an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia. I'm going to give you 30 seconds for this final question. I think most Americans have become libertarian on bioethical issues like assisted suicide, embryonic stem cell research. If
right.
so, 30 seconds. How do we make the case that these issues are against their self-interests?
Well, you know, I think what we really need to do is start increasing our love. I think this is a vote of no confidence in the medical system, and I think it is a vote of no confidence in society, where people think that their lives are not worth living because they have serious conditions. What we need to do is increase the love that we exhibit individually and as a society so that everyone knows that they are welcome in life as long as they live a natural life.
Folks, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and you'll find a link to Wesley Smith's website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find Wesley Smith's website. He's a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide. He's author of several books, including The Culture of Death, The Assault on Medical Ethics in America. Wesley, it's always a pleasure, and thanks for being kind enough to join us.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to do a little audio open lines with you to round off this first hour of Issues, Etc. Gavin Newsom has made a name for himself as the mayor of San Francisco. He has been the one who's probably been the point man, at least the public point man, for gay marriage in California. He's none too happy with the passage of Prop 8. We'll find out what he has to say and get your reaction during audio open lines, Issues, Etc. after this. Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Sharon Bailing, Autumn Beth Wagner, Greta Andrews, Barbara Wagner, John Werdman, Julie Paulson, Jonathan Bauer, Brent Hebbets, Pastor Ron Hodel, and Inga Duke. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues, Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.